Welcome to Clement Gorrison, a consultant with the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime. Good morning.
Good morning.
The report tracks the financial flows related to ransom money. How did you track this?
Well, we had to resort to a bit of a new methodology because the literature and the information available in open sources were quite limited. So the team that we formed with UNODC, the World Bank and Interpol went on several field missions to interview police officials and government officials, but also reformed pirates in custody, and as many actors as possible in the Horn of Africa and countries that were concerned in order to gather information from the ground.
Could you tell us more about the survey of pirate financiers that you carried out?
The survey is pretty much the aggregation of the various information that we've been collecting over the year, and it was almost a year and 3 months of research in the ground. So at some point we had to gather all the different information we received into a single document. That's how we aggregated different information, organized it and analyzed it.
Should we question the accuracy of this data, given that it's quite difficult to track ransom money when we don't even know how much was paid?
The whole difficulty, and that was indeed the main challenge to come with a credible report on that topic, is cross-referencing the information. So the way we did it is that we would basically not keep any information unless we were able to reference it under 2 to 3 different independent sources. When I mean independent, what I mean by that is that not related to each other.
Is that just for the ransom money received, or is that also the money that's spent by the so-called pirate financiers?
We've applied that methodology of cross-referencing each and every piece of information to all the information we gathered for this report. So that's valid for the amounts collected, but also for the way it is used and the places where we've seen traces of it.
The report, it concludes that ransom money helps further finance piracy activity, which maybe suggests that piracy could only be reduced if ransoms aren't paid anymore.
Yes, that seems like a very logic and obvious statement. But the reason why we emphasize on that is also to show that it's not because there's a decrease in the number of attacks that the capacities are not still in place. It is really conducted as a business. So basically the same people who invest in the first operation, if it is successful and they have a good return on their investment, they will be encouraged to invest again in another operation. The fact also that we found that a very important amount of part of this ransom stays in Somalia, it also suggests that the monies are there for further use in criminal activities.
What effect does ransom money have on the local economy? You discount the claim that property prices have been pushed up, for example.
You need to have another perception of the phenomenon and the impact of illicit financial flows on the economy. It's not so much a macro effect whereby, even though we're talking about as much as $400 million over 5 years being collected in ransoms amount, but that's really a drop in the ocean compared to the total amount of money that's being generated by the real estate market in Kenya. So we found out that claims that ransom money could have a destabilizing effect on that market were completely unfounded. The danger comes from something that is a bit more insidious, in the sense that it gives the means to some actors and criminal kingpins to enter the market and therefore have the power to influence the business market that they enter, be it in communications, for instance, the farming activities that some of them enter, or the cat trade that many pirate financiers have entered.
You suggest that illegal cross-border money smuggling should be dealt with, but how can this be done without cutting off many other Somalis who rely on money transfers from family or friends abroad?
Well, we're talking about two different phenomena. The first one you are referring to is illicit cross-border transportation of cash, which should be indeed monitored and, if possible, stopped. Because, as you can see, when you take the plane, for instance, you will often see at the borders and the customs offices, they ask you to disclose the amount of money you are carrying on yourself. This is just to ensure that you're not trying to smuggle money away for illegal purposes. So this sort of activities must be stopped. But the second phenomenon that you are referring to in terms of remittances, the solution that we suggest in the report and that we are already working on with UNODC is to help those remittance companies that are transferring money for families having ties to Somalia, to help them conducting their operation in a more transparent and regulated manner. So we are encouraging them to work hand in hand with the new government in Mogadishu, but also with the local authorities in Puntland and in Somaliland. That's the core of our action, to really strengthen strengthen those operators to protect them from being misused by criminal kingpins and even terrorists.
Thank you very much to Clement Gorison.
You're welcome.
A consultant with the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, joining us on the line from Vienna.
Thank you very much, sir.